What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Zach Gelb here with you, filling in for both Maggie and Perloff, as Maggie Gray and Andrew Perloff are out the entire week. I'll be taking you all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, when the Zach Gelb Show comes your way on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. I will not be hosting my own show today because I'm doing this show. But Chad Brown going to stop by 20 minutes from now. The former Pro Bowl linebacker now has a talk show in Denver. And Austin Eckler will be joining us an hour 20 from now. Fresh off the Los Angeles Chargers getting a victory last night on Monday Night Football to conclude Week 16 in the NFL. And not only that, that punched the Chargers' ticket to the NFL postseason, as we have a lot of great young quarterbacks that are going to be in the postseason this year, especially in the AFC. When you look at Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, assuming Lamar Jackson comes back and is healthy, and Justin Herbert, those are your five quarterbacks that we know will be in the playoffs this year in the AFC. And lurking is going to be Trevor Lawrence, as a lot of people are now picking the last few weeks the Jaguars to win the AFC South, and then we'll see who's going to get that seventh and final spot. Will it be the Dolphins? Will Tua Tagovailoa even play football again this season because he suffered another concussion? Is it going to be the Patriots with Mac Jones, or is it going to be Mike White with the New York Jets, and then some other names that could be thrown into the conversation, still mathematically alive? But really, any of those names that I just threw out there don't really match up with the way that we view Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Herbert. It just continues to show you, even though like Tua's had a really good season, and Mike White in the limited role has done well with the Jets, and Mac Jones isn't really being put in a position to succeed with the Patriots, you either have the guy or you have a guy or not a guy. And right now we know who the guys are in the AFC, and it's those guys that have officially punched their ticket and clinched their spot in the postseason. And Trevor Lawrence is starting to emerge in that conversation as well, what he's been able to do finally with the competent head football coach in the NFL. You know, last year was a disaster with Urban Meyer, who almost appeared like he just wanted to get fired 1 year in with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now you're bringing a guy that's had a lot of success in the NFL and has won a Super Bowl before with the Philadelphia Eagles, Super Bowl 52, as their head coach in Doug Peterson. Anyway, we know the Broncos don't have their guy yet at head coach, as they fired Nathaniel Hackett yesterday. Also, it's not looking like Russell Wilson's the quarterback that they traded for. Now, George Payton is still going to be the general manager. That was announced yesterday earlier today when you did have the press conference. But you start to see some of the names that emerge for the Broncos job. I saw this via Bet Online. These are the odds for the next Broncos full-time head coach. Sean Payton is 4-1. I don't know, barring the new rich owners for and the richest owners of the NFL of the Broncos going on out there and just giving Sean a contract he can't refuse, I don't see why Sean, who could pick any job that he wants if they're interested in him, why he would go to Denver. Like, what does Denver have to offer? If you're a Broncos fan, how do you sell me on Denver? We have a great defense. Okay, what did that great defense get you this year? Nothing. Made you the laughingstock of the league, not because of the defense, but you could have a great defense. But if you're asking them to just get you off the field every single drive because your offense is not capable of scoring two touchdowns, you're bound to have a defense make a mistake. Like, you even saw it a little bit on Sunday night with the Buccaneers. Now, I know Brady and company ended up coming back, but that defense, and it was against Trace McSorley, I get it, was shutting down Arizona, and eventually you do break. Not all defenses can be perfect, and the other side, this is the great hard-hitting analysis that we give you, they get paid as well. And anyone collecting a paycheck in this league should be able at one point in the game drive down the field, even if you're going up against one of the greatest defenses of all time, like the 85 Bears, the early 2000 Ravens, and get a touchdown. And not that this Bucs defense is this all-time great defense, but they are a very good unit. And when the offense was crap on Sunday, there were times where the Cardinals went down the field and got some points on the board. So for Denver, when it's you're playing defense, but then on offense, it's three and out, turnover, turnover, bad field position, even with the defense that's been great, it's not going to be put in a position to succeed. Now, this offensive line is not wonderful in Denver. I do think that the wide receivers are not as great as what Russell Wilson thought they were going to be. And I remember when Russell Wilson got traded, I said, did he really go to a better situation? You know, on defense, absolutely. Compared to where the Seahawks were on defense, to where the Broncos were on defense. But on the offensive side of the ball, even though there was problems with the Seahawks offensive line, it's not like Denver had this great offensive line. And from a weapon standpoint, you don't have a DK Metcalf on the Denver Broncos. You don't have a Tyler Lockett. Like, Cortland Sutton's good, don't get me wrong. Jerry Jeudy, for a guy that went in the first round, I know he's starting to have a better season, but I don't necessarily know, and I don't think he is for sure a bona fide number one wide receiver in this league. And at the running back spot, Melvin Gordon, I know he's no longer on the team, but he was fumbling the ball left and right. And Javonte Williams, who I like a lot, even when he was at UNC, when he was complimenting and sharing carries with Michael Carter, he unfortunately got hurt. So you look at the weapons or the lack of them on Denver's offense, and oh yeah, by the way, you have a quarterback who Jay Gruden just joined us, and he said the way that Russell Wilson's been playing the last 2 years or so, he's looking more like a guy that is like not even a top 25 quarterback in this league, let alone, I think he said, a top 10 quarterback. Now, that's coming from a guy that evaluates offense, was a good offensive coordinator, and a guy that was a former NFL coach in this league. Now, I don't know moving forward into the future, there's definitely going to be 25 quarterbacks better than Russell Wilson year in, year out. But Russell Wilson has been awful this year, putrid. Like when they're at the press conference the other day and they're saying, oh yeah, he's shown flashes of Russell Wilson being able to be the guy that we thought. And they're referencing a half here and there. Like what? We're 16 weeks into a season. If you could only tell me there was a half here and there where he looked good, that means he hasn't been the guy that you thought you were getting. And he's been brutal to watch. He's been horrible. And I don't know how much better it gets. Like, you would think it can't get worse. But just because you bring in a new head coach, it doesn't mean you wave the magic wand and then all of a sudden, poof, Russell Wilson is back into being a top 10 quarterback in this league. And I said it to Jay Gruden, who joined us earlier. I'll say it again. I think the days of Russell Wilson being a great quarterback are long gone. Russell Wilson's ceiling, if he ever does get back on track, is probably just being good. And sometimes good can win in this league, but most of the times you need a great quarterback to win in this league. And look at the conference that he's in. This conference in the AFC has Patrick Mahomes, has Josh Allen, has Josh Burrow, has Lamar Jackson, has Trevor Lawrence, you know, has Justin Herbert. Just look inside your division. You know, I don't know if Carr is going to be back or not with the Raiders, and I don't think Carr is a great quarterback. But Carr the last 2 years has been better than Russell Wilson. But just look at your division. And I know there's an extra playoff spot now with the seventh wild card added for the last few years, but just in your division, you're going up against Mahomes, and you're going up against Justin Herbert. Unless those guys get hurt, they're not going anywhere. So the odds of you winning a division title with Denver are slim. And you know probably with the way that this is trending, Kansas City and the Chargers are playoff teams for the foreseeable future. So that's a divisional spot taken up and a wild card spot. That only leaves two wild card spots left for you. And I can't trust Russell Wilson anymore. And he's not going anywhere for the next 2 years or so because of the dead cap, all that you gave up for him. But to just think that this is going to change with one head coaching hire, it's jackassery to me. So if I'm Sean Payton, to get back to some of these names that have been thrown out there by BetOnline and the odds, he's 4-1, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't touch that job with a 10-foot pole right now. Now you go through some of the other candidates. Dan Quinn, that was the first name that I thought was realistic, looking for a second head coaching job. I know it's not an offensive name, but if you bring in the right offensive coordinator, Dan Quinn is a leader of men. Maybe that could work. And I think Dan Quinn is a good name. I don't think he's a must-have name. But that's kind of the position that the Broncos are in. The Broncos aren't going to get the creme de la creme candidate. You may have to settle on a first-time coach, which is a big risk, because look at what happened with Nathaniel Hackett. You don't know how those guys are going to be when they're moved over to the head honcho chair. And how many times do we hear about this great offensive coordinator, great defensive coordinator that ends up just being ass as a head coach? And you, like, even though I was pessimistic about the Broncos this year, and I said they were going to miss the playoffs, I didn't think it would get this bad when they fire the coach after a year. But at least you know Dan Quinn has been a head coach before, and he's taken his team pretty damn far. I know we all get on him for the 28-3 choke job in the Super Bowl, but he did coach a team to a Super Bowl. Some other names, Jim Caldwell, who has been to a Super Bowl before. There's a Peyton Manning relationship there, back when he was the head coach for a few years with the Colts. Then with the Lions, had a double-digit win season, and had two other, I think, 9-win seasons as well, and that was in Detroit. Do I think Jim Caldwell is going to go get a great job in this league right now? No. So maybe he wants to be a head coach again, and that's a guy that has past head coaching experience, offensive side of the ball experience, where you know he's going to be a good leader of men, and he's done it before, so maybe you have to settle on him. Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator for the Eagles, is going to be a hot name. He's at 7-1. I think D'Amico Ryans would be a home run hire. He's at 15-2 odds, but if you're D'Amico Ryans, with what you've been doing on the defensive side of the ball, I would take a much better job than the Denver Broncos. Eric Bieniemy at 9-1. For Bieniemy, I think he's definitely deserving of being a head coach, but he hasn't been offered a head coaching job yet. So am I going to expect all of a sudden that he's a head coach next year? No, I would not. Here's a name that may be a fit, and it's Frank Reich. Frank Reich has been a head coach before. He's a respected name in the NFL. I do think he was overrated as a head coach. He's been to the playoffs a few times. If you're a Broncos fan, not that I think you're jumping for joy if you get Frank Reich, who's at 9-1 odds, but he may be a guy that's looking to be a head coach again, may not have a lot of other opportunities elsewhere, and because your job's not that attractive, you bring him in. And Frank Reich, the last 2 years, I thought was horrible. The same mistakes against the Jaguars, his team not showing up in a big spot, constantly not prepared for the first half of games when you look at the discrepancy on the scoreboard. But once again, this is not this great job in Denver. So you could bring in a guy like Frank Reich, who's had some success in this league before as a head coach, was an offense coordinator when Nick Foles won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, where maybe that's a guy that's not as desired in other places, but since you're not a desirable job, you bring in someone that's experienced in Frank Reich. And I'll give you a few more names that are on this list. Jim Harbaugh, 12-1. If I'm Jim, I do think there's an opportunity, obviously, to be head coach again in this league. And if he wants to do it, he should pursue it. But I'm not leaving Michigan for this Denver job. Byron Leftwich at 16-1. Leslie Frazier at 16-1. Brian Flores, who's been a head coach before in this league, is 18-1 as well. And then we'll give you some funky names here. And none of these will happen. Peyton Manning at 50-1. Bill Cowher at 66-1. I think that ship has sailed of Bill Cowher coming back to the sideline. And I'll throw you one more. There are two more that are hilarious. John Elway at 100-1. And how about this one? This one they're just posting in there to just troll. Pete Carroll for the next Broncos coach at $150-1. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to assume, and you know what happens when you assume you make an ass out of you and me. Pete Carroll, who did not want Russell Wilson anymore and had no problem with Russell Wilson wanting to leave, the Seattle Seahawks and knew him better than anybody. With the way that that relationship ended, I don't think Pete's leaving Seattle, which is a better spot right now, as they just robbed, and we all thought it was a great trade for the Broncos. They robbed the Denver Broncos. I don't think he's going to say, you know what, Russ? I'll be your knight in shining armor and come save the day for you. And help hold your hand again, this time in Denver where they had all that success in Seattle. And that's what still bugs me with this whole relationship with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Russ thought he was something that he was not. And he was so insecure with the way that it was perceived when they won that Super Bowl. And then they lost the second one. That when they won that first Super Bowl against Denver, ironically, it was all the credit was to the Legion of Boom. It was to Marshawn Lynch. It was to Pete Carroll. And then it was, oh yeah, and Russell Wilson, who was a good quarterback. But then Russ wanted to be the man. Then the ego of Russell Wilson took over. And the last few years, even when he wasn't playing well, even though it wasn't the best situation in the world, it seemed like Russ never took any accountability. And then Russ started off with his agent saying, we don't want to be traded, but if you want to trade us, here are four teams we'll go to. And you knew he was going to be back because of the dead cap. And then it was his final year in Seattle. And he was just so fraudulent with the two of them, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, right before that press conference. Remember, Russ interrupted him. And he's like, oh, our relationship's better than ever. No, it wasn't. Because Pete knew the end was near. And Pete probably knew as well, because he didn't really put up much of a fight from what we know publicly. I don't really believe in you that much anymore. And Pete knew more about Russell Wilson and believed in him more before any of us did. Because you got to remember, they had that backup, they had that quarterback for Green Bay that ended up getting that job in Seattle. And Matt Flynn, on that big contract, and it ended up being Russell Wilson's team right away. That was Pete. Pete was the one that started Russell Wilson. And then he was the one that said, okay, you want to leave? I got no problem giving up on you here because I know that you're not as great as what you think you are. So this Broncos job is just not desirable. This Denver job is not desirable. And I think they're going to have to settle on someone. I'd be shocked if they get their actual top three candidates. They'll say, oh, this is the guy when they make the hire. This is the guy that we always wanted. But in reality, it won't be, because barring their new owner, who has all the money in the world, just giving a check that makes someone say yes when they would probably say no, I don't think you're going to get your top candidate, let alone a top three candidate. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll go out to Denver next. Welcome in a former Pro Bowl linebacker that has a talk show in Denver. That's Chad Brown.
What's the strangest thing you're afraid of?
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, where we dig into the crazy things you're afraid of. Everything from animal-people hybrids, you know, people who get surgeries to look like an animal, to giant statues.
If I ever saw one of those giant statues, I probably would poop my pants.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now as we're talking Russell Wilson. We're talking Nathaniel Hackett getting fired, and we'll welcome in a former Pro Bowl linebacker, now does a talk show out in Denver on 104.3 The Fan, and that, of course, is Chad Brown. Chad, happy holidays, happy new year, how you been?
Happy holidays to you guys as well. I've been fantastic, unlike the Broncos fans. This has not been a fantastic year in any way.
Yeah, we all knew that Nathaniel Hackett was going to get fired. The question just was going to be when it occurred. When the news came down on Monday, was it at all surprising just because how long he lasted into the season? I kind of thought he was going to get to the rest of the year.
Yeah, once he got past like week 12, the thinking became in Denver, he's just going to be able to last the season and kind of play the string out. But when you get, you know, crushed by the Rams, who are missing their best players, they put up 51 points on you. The Walton Pennant group had seen enough. To your point, we all knew it was going to happen. But, you know, I think to try to create some distance as quickly as possible between Nathaniel Hackett's tenure and what the Broncos do next, this was an attempt to do that. So let's get the future rolling as quickly as we possibly can.
I know the new ownership group can write a check to make anyone maybe say yes to become the next head coach, but a lot of people are throwing out the name Sean Payton. Other than that reason, I don't see why Sean Chad would take this job. What has the conversation been in Denver about Sean in the last 24 hours?
Well, there's a lot of conversation about Sean Payton because, you know, he's the most experienced coach who's, you know, on his couch right now and who's available, but also because Sean Payton had some success, a lot of success with Drew Brees. And Drew Brees being a shorter quarterback, Russell Wilson being a shorter quarterback, people are making that kind of connection. But I think it's just a faulty comparison. Drew Brees' game is completely different than Russell Wilson's game. They play the position quite differently. And I think Russell Wilson has shown this year he's not prepared in any way to be a true kind of pocket passer like Drew Brees was. So you can bring in Sean Payton in hopes that you know, he can try to coach Russell Wilson into becoming Drew Brees. I don't think it's within Russell Wilson's skill set to do that. So it would be another one of those kind of foolish hires based on faulty reasoning.
What do you think the ceiling is for the rest of Russell Wilson's career? Because the last year and a half before this one, you saw some signs, and I know we all kind of made it, okay, that was more the situation in Seattle, and we didn't put any of the blame on Russ. But really, this has been an issue now for 2 years, and it keeps on getting worse and worse. Like, the season he's having this year, no one could even have imagined this, Chad.
No one could have imagined. Now, I did a coaching internship in Seattle when Russ was the quarterback there. And I was on the defensive side of the ball. So I got chance to spend time with guys like Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, and even guys on the offensive side of the ball like Marshawn Lynch. And they certainly let their feelings be known about Russ and, you know, what kind of teammate he was and how relatable he was and what their opinion was of him. So I knew that there were issues. So I talked about those issues on my show in Denver. And a lot of the Bronco fans were upset with me. It's like, you're a Russ hater. It's like, no, I'm not a Russ hater, but I got to present the facts as I know them. And there's a certain slippery slope with this guy. I know we're excited. We've been quarterback starved ever since Peyton Manning left, but let's not, you know, fall in love with this guy before he actually does something on the field to prove that we should love him. And speaking of that line of thinking, ownership in George Payton gave this guy $250 million before he played a regular season snap. So not only would this possibly go down as the worst trade ever in NFL history, it could also go down as one of the worst contracts in NFL history. And to your original question, I'll kind of throw this question back on to you. Can you think of another player who has fallen as fast and as far from a skill standpoint as Russell Wilson has, who was somehow able to regain his previous level of magic? And don't worry, I'll wait, but I'll be waiting forever because there is no one that I can think of in recent NFL history who would fit that bill. So I'm not sure if this Russell Wilson pursuit or this Russell Wilson kind of lens through which you begin to try to get a new coach is the right angle to take, because if this guy's brought in with the purpose of somehow fixing Russell Wilson and he doesn't address the rest of the team, the Broncos are still going to be in a terrible point. There's a lot of folks in Denver who are saying maybe it's just time to take the severe cap hit of either $70 million after June 1st or $170 million before June 1st and just struggle for the next year or two just to hit the reset button, kind of like you would do in Madden, and get rid of all the old and bring in some new.
Yeah, he'll be the quarterback there, though, next year. I would be surprised if they do that, because I think it's clear what they're saying. And not that Nathaniel Hackett is all to be blamed for this, but he didn't do a good job. It became an embarrassment. And I think they're going to try to cover this up and just bring in a new coach and say, okay, it's up to that new coach to fix Russell Wilson. I just don't know if this is fixable at this point.
But the Broncos have been doing this ever since Peyton Manning left. When John Elway was the GM, his competitive fire wouldn't allow him to rebuild.
Yeah, but not to a contract and picks like this. Like they kind of unfortunately shot themselves in the foot because now there's really no way to fix this in the next year or two.
No, there is no way to fix it in the next year or two, whether it's Russell Wilson or not Russell Wilson. So why not get rid of the crazy salary? Why not suffer the cap hit now? So this rebuild that has been needed to be done, they kicked that can down the road so many times. And now they're going to try to do it again and somehow expect the results to be different. So that's my issue is the folks who are saying just suffer through the cap hit, I'm beginning to see the logic in that because this offensive line needs to be rebuilt. And you can't do that with a $50 million quarterback salary that's weighing you down from a salary cap perspective. Take the big cap hit, move forward, do some draft picks, do what you can, get rid of good players to bring those draft picks back that you gave up with Russell, that you gave up to get Russell Wilson. Just fully hit the reset button. Accept where you are. Don't spin. Don't try to sell the Bronco fans something that's not true, which has been done so many times over the last 6 or 7 years. Accept the reality of the situation. Deal with it from a reset standpoint and a rebuilding standpoint, not trying to put Band-Aids on top of it.
Chad Brown here with us. Let's just assume that Russ is back next year, and I'm glad that you touched on your time in Seattle when you had the coaching internship, because you look at the relationships in that locker room. If this thing is going to get fixed, that's where it needs to start. And I don't know if Russ is capable of really connecting with that locker room, because it has been comical from the things that you've heard this year on where some of those relationships are at in a bad spot.
Yeah, I don't see how this guy is suddenly going to change his stride to become a quote-unquote great teammate. You know, is he a good guy? Yeah, of course. He goes to Children's Hospital every week. There's a lot of great qualities about Russell Wilson, the person. But as far as being a relatable human being, as far as being a guy in the locker room who guys feel comfortable with it and want to play for and do great things for, Russell Wilson doesn't bring that out of guys. His team, not the Bronco football team, but his videographer, his social media guy, his quarterback coach, his massage guy, his mental coach, all those folks are in the facility constantly. They travel with the team. They get hotel spots. They take up parking spots in the wives' parking area. The wives who have parked in certain locations for home games have been kicked out of their parking spots, all those kind of things. I'm not sure how you can change that. And this is a guy whose team is still releasing the slow-motion videos of him walking into the locker room wearing the latest, greatest Versace gear. It's just so ridiculous, and they're always trying to sell us something and spin us on something. Just play great football. That's the best advertisement you could possibly make. Don't sell me your outfit. Sell me that you're a good quarterback. Let's do that first. Then we can do all the other stuff.
Chad Brown, you've been in a lot of locker rooms. When you're on group chats and group texts and all that, and these players are hanging out together, what do you think they're saying about their quarterback?
They're talking about all these weird quirks. They're talking about, you hear reports about in the team dining room, Russell Wilson comes and sits down at a table full of players and suddenly takes over the conversation and doesn't take the time to know who these guys are or to join in the conversation that they're having. So there's just this complete disconnect, and I'm sure they're having all those kinds of conversations similar to what we're having now about who is this dude and why does he not get it? And is there any way possible he can change around? And I think their answer would be the same as mine. My experience tells me no, and I'm sure their locker room experience tells them no as well. So just as we've never seen a player fall this far, this fast from a skill standpoint and be able to recapture the previous magic, I don't think any of my teammates or these guys who are currently in the Broncos locker room can say we've ever seen a player who was such an unrelatable guy suddenly become a great teammate that you couldn't wait to play with again. So whoever this new coach is, and yes, to your point, it seems like Russell Wilson will be back under center for the Broncos next year, has got a very difficult task in front of him, not only trying to maximize the skill of a declining quarterback who's lost not just a step, in my opinion, but two steps, but also try to repair relationships in the locker room, which is completely fractured. We got Dalton Risner pushing Brett Rippon on the sideline of this last game. We got Randy Gregory punching people out after the game. So there's all kind of issues going on. this is why this is the least attractive head coach opening for me. The contract, the quarterback, all the other issues, brand new ownership. There's just so many things that would make an experienced coach like a Sean Payton say, hey, this is not the one for me, guys.
Chad Brown, before we let you run, I think there's going to be a lot of people to say no to this job before they find someone to say yes. Who do you think, if you had to give a guess or two, a name that you thought about in the last 24 hours that you could see maybe taking this Broncos job?
This is tricky. This is a tricky one because, as I just said, in my opinion, it's the least attractive job. So someone like my former CU teammate Eric Bieniemy has been on the hot list for a long time as far as being an NFL coach. Does he want to take his first stab at it with a situation where another former CU teammate of ours, Vance Joseph, wasn't really given what he needed to be successful? And you add the contract for Russell Wilson and then the need to maximize what a declining quarterback can do on the field. Even guys like that who I know are great coaches and just want the right opportunity would probably pass on this opportunity. So guys like Sean Payton didn't mention, as I mentioned earlier, because of the connection between Drew Brees and Russell Wilson as far as height and being a quarterback. But, again, there's going to be lots of names talked about, but I don't understand why anyone would take this job other than the Walton Pinner Group offering some kind of ridiculous salary to, entice somebody when, they all can recognize that the lay of the land is so awful compared to other opportunities that are going to happen here this offseason.
I threw out Dan Quinn the other day. I'm starting to think that maybe Dan would say no to this job, but it feels like it's going to be someone that has previous head coaching experience. Like, maybe it's Jim Caldwell. Maybe it's a Frank Reich. Like, those are two names that I gravitate towards today.
Yeah, I've heard those names. And Jim Caldwell's interesting just because of the amount of experience that he has and his manner about him. Maybe just a more low-key kind of guy could be the guy to bring this thing together. Dan Quinn obviously was in Seattle, so he knows a bit about Russell Wilson. But that, in my opinion, that could be a reason to not take the job rather than a reason to take the job. Frank Reich certainly disappointed to be fired in Indy. Maybe he wants to dive right back in. I'm not sure how many years he had left on his deal because he can sit home and make money on his couch and not be forced to take the Broncos opportunity because, again, it's just there's so many question marks. And my football experience tells me the more question marks you have, the more likely not all those are going to be answered with an affirmative yes or they're going to be answered in a good way. It's the same thing about every football team. We talk about, hey, they're finished up with training camp. Let's talk about how they're going to play this season. Well, if they got question marks at the quarterback position, question marks here and what question marks there, we put doubts around that team. Well, there's so many question marks around this team from a head coaching perspective. Ownership, who's that going to be? Is George Payton, the GM, going to be there long term? Because he was the guy who brought in Russell Wilson, gave him the contract, and brought in Nathaniel Hackett. Am I going to have a new GM next year who's going to want a different coach that he's tied to? So with all those question marks, again, I'm not sure how this becomes an attractive job other than the dollars that the Walton Pinner Group can put out there.
But why is George Payton safe in this? Because he hired Hackett, and he made the trade for Russell Wilson. Why isn't he being sent packing?
I think for Greg Pinner, as much as he's saying he's going to lead this coaching search and going to have the coach report directly to him, I think, there's a bit of a uncertainty about this NFL process. Lots of business experience, but the NFL is certainly a tricky place to navigate. And just look at the Fleeks job the Seahawks pulled on the Broncos with the trades and the players to bring Russell Wilson to Denver. Pete Carroll and Schneider up there, up in Seattle, have to be high-fiving themselves every single day. Not only did we get rid of this guy, we got players, we got draft picks, and that draft pick, I think, is currently the third pick in the draft for this upcoming draft. So for Greg Pinner to think he can navigate those tricky waters without having a George Payton by his side to let him know who he can trust, who he can't trust, those kind of things, maybe that's why George Payton is still here for maybe one more year.
Last one for Chad Brown. You talking about your alma mater, Colorado. Where's the excitement level with Deion Sanders? Prime time joining the Buffs.
Well, we were really excited in Colorado when we got Russell Wilson. And so that one turned out. So I think, obviously, it's a different situation, different level of football. Coach Prime may be the only coach whose brand is bigger than whatever school he goes to. And we're seeing that already with some of the recruiting success that he's had. CU's got just a couple of 3- and 4-star guys in the last couple of decades. He's already brought a ton of those guys in already. It's only going to get nowhere but better. So I expect things to improve very quickly up there. I'm 52 years old. I don't think Coach Prime would be for me. But for kids who want likes and follows and social media presence and time on camera and all that stuff, Coach Prime is going to bring all of that in spades. So his ability to sit into a family's living room and sit on someone's mom's couch and tell that kid, yeah, not only are you going to play great, not only are you going to have an opportunity to, you know, play on a big stage at Colorado, one of the best conferences in the country. Certainly the resurgence of the Pac-12 was big this year. But I'm going to get you social media follows and likes and NIL opportunities and all that stuff that's going to come with the glitz and glam that Coach Prime brings. So we've been starving in Boulder for a winner for almost 2 decades now. So Coach Prime comes in with that and comes in with a level of interest nationally that puts the Buffs back in the national spotlight in ways that we haven't been since my glory days. So I am certainly excited, but there's a little bit of tempering of that excitement because we were all excited about Russell Wilson, too, in Denver.
Chad Brown, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much for the time, my friend.
All right, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
There you go. Chad Brown joining us, former Pro Bowl linebacker. That is a daily talk show in Denver on The Fan. We'll come on back. We'll do a little MVP conversation. Zach Gelbin for Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I was taking a glance at the latest NFL MVP odds, and I'll give you the top five candidates. At minus 550, Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. At plus 600, Joe Burrow of the Bengals. Plus 1,000, Josh Allen of the Bills. Plus 1,000, Jalen Hurts of the Eagles. And then at plus 1,500, it is Justin Jefferson right now of the Minnesota Vikings. I look at these odds and the way that I see them unfold right now, I actually think it's going to be Mahomes, and I know that he's the betting favorite right now. But other than that, it's just like Burrow, as great as he's been this year, it is a late push. And he has been marvelous this year. Josh Allen, I think that kind of little bit of a hiccup in the middle of the season is going to hurt him. Jalen Hurts, he probably would have won it if it wasn't for the injury. But really, the guy that I would like to see win it is Justin Jefferson. And I said this after week one of the NFL season, that if I was to go like outside the box, because really what the MVP award has been, it's usually quarterback, you see a running back here and there. And I think the last non-quarterback to win it was like 2012, I want to say. But we've never seen a wide receiver win the award. So after week one, I made the case for Justin Jefferson. And then he's been having a wonderful season. We all know that. And he's been someone that is the first 3 years has the most receiving yards out of any wide receiver in NFL history. Like the way that we talk about Herbert with his passing yards, the same way that we talk about Justin Jefferson with his receiving yards. But it's just so tough for a non-quarterback to win it and then for it to be a wide receiver, not a running back. Like, look at last year. Cooper Kupp led the league in receiving yards, receptions, and receiving touchdowns. And he didn't win the award. I don't even think he got a vote. If memory serves me right. But you look at the last 10 or 11 NFL MVPs, Rodgers, Lamar, Mahomes, Brady, Matt Ryan, Cam, Aaron Rodgers, Manning, and then in 2012 it was Adrian Peterson. Then if I take you back another decade, Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Brady, LT, Sean Alexander, Peyton Manning, Manning and McNair combined, Rich Gannon, Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk. So that's since 2000. So most of the time, it's been quarterbacks. So what does Justin Jefferson need to do to win the NFL MVP? And it's not talking poorly of Kirk Cousins, because when I look at the Minnesota Vikings, Kirk Cousins is not the first name I think of. Like when people earlier in the year were trying to tell me Tua Tagovailoa, and I hope that he makes a full recovery and everything, and it's a scary situation what's going on with Tua, and he probably shouldn't play again this season. And Tua right now is at plus 40,000, wow, to go win the MVP. It's just one of those scenarios. And excuse me, the Justin Jefferson thing is not plus 1,500. I just assumed it was plus 1,500. It's actually, he's in fifth right now. It's plus 13,000. So really what they're telling you is they only think out of the quarterbacks that a quarterback's going to win, but it's either going to be Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Hurts as one of those quarterbacks, and really no one else has a shot. But when it was kind of looked at that Tua was going to win the award, I remember I had this debate on my show with my producer, Hot Take Hickey, and I said to him, I go, Tua's not going to win the NFL MVP. Because when you think of the Dolphins, the first player you think of is Tyreek Hill and his importance to the team. But when you look at the Minnesota Vikings, the first player you think of is Justin Jefferson and just what he's been able to do. And I think the way that Justin Jefferson could have a shot to win this award, and still I don't know if it's going to be enough, is if he finishes the year with 209 receiving yards more. And you're saying, Zach, why are you throwing out such a weird number of 209 more receiving yards? Because if he gets to 209 more receiving yards in these last two games, he would have the most receiving yards by any wide receiver in NFL history. Because right now, he's at 1,756. Calvin Johnson had 1,964, so he is 209 away from breaking it, 208 away from tying it. Which is definitely possible that he goes and does that, but still, is that going to be enough? Because even though we could talk about Burrow and make the case, you could talk about Josh Allen and make the case, you could talk about Jalen Hurts and make the case, the odds-on betting favorite, the only guy that's minus money right now, is Patrick Mahomes. And you got to think that not much is going to be able to change in the next 2 weeks. But you look at it, with the last 3 weeks that Justin Jefferson has had, 223 receiving yards against the Lions, .123 against the Colts, .133 against the Giants. He definitely has a shot of going out there and getting 209 more receiving yards. And right now, he's first in the NFL in receptions. He's first in receiving yards. And he's tied for fifth in receiving touchdowns. I know it's not the triple crown like Cooper Kupp had a year ago, but there is definitely a case to be made for Justin Jefferson. And just maybe, if he usurps that record of Calvin Johnson, then maybe in a year where there hasn't been for consecutive weeks a name that we've latched onto and just have kept with, and now it seems like that's going to be Mahomes, maybe that's going to be enough for Justin Jefferson to go on out there. And I wonder how the Vikings will handle this down the stretch, because you want him to be healthy, but you basically have everything locked up. You won the division. You're not going to get the number one overall seed, most likely. You got the Packers this week, that Bears game. There's a chance he gets the record this week, and if he goes and has one of those Lions performance, but if he doesn't and the record's intact next weekend, do you go for the record or do what's in the best interest of the football team and do you rest him? But if he does win that record, maybe he ends up winning the MVP. I'm going to say there will be some votes this year for Justin Jefferson. I think he definitely has a shot to break that record, but probably it's going to be Patrick Mahomes taking home his second NFL MVP award of his career.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or opossums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.